This is Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Here are your hosts, Dr. Tim Slecker and Dr. Johnny Lupinacci, educated educators talking education.
Yeah. Man, Friday already? Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Educated educators talking education. No Johnny Lupinacci today, Jess. He's doing that coaching thing today.
It is the day for that. So yes. I suppose we can forgive him.
We'll forgive him. But yeah, Johnny Lupinacci is also the Wisconsin State University hockey coach. And so
Washington.
Did I say Wisconsin?
You sure did.
Oh, my goodness. Washington. That's right. That big state, Washington, out there on the West Coast. But, you know, we'll welcome him back. And you never know. I mean, I think right now he might be up in the air, literally in an airplane.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We didn't just throw him into the air. He's contained.
Yeah. He's out there. But you know what? It is free throws and face-offs. As Jess corrected me before the show, because I was calling it face-offs and free throws.
It doesn't have the same ring to it.
I know. But every Friday, you know, we get to talk a little bit about those, what we say, the essential curriculars, extracurriculars, you know, a lot of people, but we're renaming them the essential curriculars. And in the fall and now into the winter, you know, we've been largely focused on athletics and how athletics really feed something that is just wonderful for students in public schools and building team skills, cooperation, and just learning all of those other things that the academics actually, you know, a lot of times forget. So today, though, gotta love it. He's back in the house. That's right. Jimmy Cuska, Civic's own. Civic Media Zone, Jimmy Cuska, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing great. You know, this is State Education Convention Week, and one of the more popular panels that happens every year is the WIAA presentation. It gives a broad overview of some of the largest, you know, events coming to an administrator's desk, right? 2 years ago, it was the tournament performance factor, which is what moves teams up and down divisions based on success in the postseason. Last year, the panel really kind of broadly focused on, you know, just some of, like, you know, the process to committee, to get it in front of Board of Control, to get it to annual meeting. There wasn't a overriding theme. And now this year, a lot of the focus is on officiating and participation. So just as you said, there's a lot of things in athletics that tie in to academics. And I know at the State Education Convention, when the WIAA is presenting, they really focus on those topics that, you know, sort of broadly apply to school districts, issues that everybody is facing. And certainly this year, I think officiating continues to be a perpetual need since COVID. But these things definitely catch the eye of the administrators, because these things affect, you know, schools' branding, people coming into the building, et cetera, student performance and all that.
Well, speaking of that, though, too, it's just, you know, I find this, you know, interesting, and I know you're going to be, you know, having a piece following this coming out. But, you know, the idea, too, that, you know, we've been working really hard at helping people understand that as a fan, coaches and officials, referees, they need a little respect. Talk about that, Jimmy.
Yeah. So, you know, last year, one of the measures that was approved at the annual meeting was, you know, just things dealing with fan behavior, you know, making sure you're designating a game official for yourself, not a person in red, in black and white, but someone who's managing a game, your host game manager, finding those trouble fans and giving them the boot, right? Creating curriculum for them to take before they're allowed back in, things like that. Things that are really addressing the fan behavior issues that we had seen the last few years, things that were going viral, seeing fights in the stands, seeing parents come out and chase coaches and officials out the door, things that are just beyond, you know, just beyond the pale, right? I'm happy to say this year so far, we haven't really had that viral incident. I'm sure there have been things that have been said to officials and coaches. Don't mistake that. Huddle cameras pick up a lot more than you think. If you're watching those things from home, you could definitely hear people getting on the coaches and officials, right? But we haven't had that big incident that has spilled over and become a big issue like we've seen in news stories in the past. And I think that's a credit just to the work that schools have done, the WIA has done, in marketing the importance not only of, you know, fan behavior and respecting coaches and officials, but also just getting the word out about officials themselves. I have never seen as many thank you officials posts from school districts that I have in the past year. It seems like, you know, last week we had winter sports officials posts up from every single district. You're seeing officials getting gift bags, sign cards, you know, posing for pictures with teams. It is remarkable to see how that has turned. Because to be quite honest, a lot of officials are coaching in other sports, so they're getting it from a couple different angles. And for the most part, you know, officials, you know, they get paid to do a game, but they're not getting paid a whole heck of a lot to come out there. And no one, absolutely nobody, deserves the kind of things that are said to an official on a given night. There's no reason for that. So I'm very happy to report that this year we haven't had that viral incident. And it just seems like the vibe is that the behavior and the attitude certainly started shifting towards the more positive.
Wow. Well, and yes, the refs, the officials, they need some love. I mean, you know, it's a hard job, as you said, Jimmy, you know, and the pay, come on. They're not going out and buying Lamborghinis after coaching a free throw basketball game or something like that. So, you know what, though, Jimmy, I want to pivot because, you know, in Wisconsin, largely Wisconsin sports, a big loss just recently with, you know, Mr. Baseball. Talking about that, Bob Uecker, right, passed away this year. Thoughts, you know, reflections, your memories. I mean, I think it's absolutely worth, you know, putting out there that, you know, this is truly a Wisconsin hero.
Yeah, and I think baseball in Wisconsin is forever changed because of him, too, because you're talking about a hometown guy who goes on to become, you know, the most revered figure in the Brewers franchise history, right? I mean, anybody who knows anything about the Brewers knows Bob Uecker and the impact he's had on baseball. Selfishly as an announcer, I think, you know, I don't think there's a baseball or sports announcer in Wisconsin that hasn't worked in a Bob Uecker-ism into their broadcast at some point. I know I'm guilty of, you know, it happens, man. But he is definitely one of a kind. When you say one of a kind, it's such a, you know, such a cliche, but he's one of one. There's nobody like him. There'll never be anybody like him. And it is really a profound loss for us, not only as baseball fans, but also in the announcer community, because again, you know, the storytelling ability to turn a blowout game into something worth listening to is the dream as a broadcaster.
Well, and so that part, though, too. Yeah. I mean, you know, as a broadcaster, you know, I was going to ask you that question. You know, do you draw inspiration? Is there a model from somebody like Bob Uecker that, you know, for Jimmy Cuska, that's like, man, you know, I want to, you know, again, it's not absolutely being like somebody else because they are who they are, but inspiration, you know, about that. A little bit more about that, Jimmy.
Yeah, it really teaches you to be yourself. That's what it amounts to. Bob Uecker was himself in every broadcast. So when he's telling a story, it's authentic. The self-deprecation fed into that. He was telling very personal stories, but with a humorous bent. I've put that into all the work I've done. A lot of the things I do are very, I don't want to say it's personal, but you can tell it's just me being me. It's a big reason why UW-Platteville trusts me with their broadcast, because I generally get excited about just about everything that happens on a softball diamond, a basketball court, a football field. I will observe something and I'll have something to say about it. I'll call it back to something else I've experienced. And I think that's really, it's true across anything. It doesn't have to be just broadcasting. You know, just be yourself. You know, you can do great things as yourself. You know, trust yourself to do good things. And when you're a storyteller, you're in a business like this, it really lends itself well when you can be authentic. I think people can really grab onto that and people will appreciate it more, I think.
Yeah. Gotta love, again, you know, for some people, their first real, you know, acquaintance with Bob Uecker was, you know, the movie Major League. A little outside, as Charlie
Sheen, just a bit outside
as he threw the ball essentially you know, on the other
side. I won't lie. I have definitely done a broadcast where the team I'm calling for is just getting hammered. I'm like, see, we got one hit. We've got one, and then, you know, censorship, one gull darn hit, you know, like it is definitely made it onto my broadcast. And yeah. I've not got in trouble yet.
So I remember watching that movie, you know, time and again. We would replay that with friends, and that connection too, that, you know, and people are like, you know, boy, he's a great actor. That wasn't an act what he was doing in Major League.
Yeah,
that
lived it all.
Right? Yeah. So anyway, so Bob Uecker, you know, sad loss, but absolutely hero contributions, not just to Wisconsin, but to everybody, particularly baseball, in bringing that love and passion for, again, you know, we said it is sports. They're essential. Those connections that we have outside of the academics. Jimmy, though, we're deep. Well, I know, are we deep? We're into winter, though. I was wondering if you could tell us a little bit about what's going on in Wisconsin winter sports.
So right now we are a few weeks out from the start of the first couple of winter sports tournaments. Hockey and wrestling start very early. They start in the middle of the month. Hockey's culminating event is the end of February, early March. Wrestling has, because it's a unique sport where they have individual and team events. They have two culminating events, one for individual, which is the very popular state wrestling individual tournament held at the Kohl Center. And then they have the team event the following week. And what's interesting is the regionals for that score, both for the sectionals, for both individual and teams. So the regional event kind of serves two ways. And what's even more interesting with the addition of girls wrestling is that we have coming up in a couple of years, the girls will have their own standalone events in both individual and team. They already get it for individual right now, but they'll have their own team event coming up in 2026. So you're talking about wrestling, for example, as being a massively growing sport, especially in the realm of girls wrestling. I'm actually doing a story on this for Civic Media coming up here in the next week or so on a couple of huge programs that have really exploded in growth. There's a program in southwestern Wisconsin that has gone from having one girl wrestler the last 2 years. They have 11 this year. And that just tells you about the massive growth of a sport providing new opportunities for girls, especially to compete. So there's a story coming on that. Other sports like basketball get started a little bit later. Swimming and diving also starts a little bit later. But we are just a few weeks out from tournament time in winter sports, which is crazy. But you look at the calendar, and here we are. We're at the end of January. February is kind of the March Madness of high school sports, because that's when a lot of the tournaments happen in high school. Some of them wrap up in March, but the meat of the tournaments typically happens at the end of February, where you have the overlap between basketball, wrestling, and hockey. So we are approaching one of the busiest, craziest weeks in high school sports on the entire calendar. It's that last week of February where everything overlaps.
How do you then, given all those things happening, you know, how do you make a decision about what you're paying attention to? What do you focus on?
Well, first, I invest heavily in caffeine. Second, yeah, there's a lot to pay attention to. To be honest, though, you kind of go in the descending order of which stage a playoff is at. So, you know, you start with the championship events, hockey, wrestling, depending on what I'm being assigned to. Most years I've done both with little issue. I will say this, state individual wrestling is unlike anything you've ever experienced in high school sports. I highly encourage you, even if you're not a wrestling fan, to check it out at least once, even a stream. But if you go there in person, you have hundreds of schools represented. It's like state track and field. You have hundreds of schools represented and a massive audience and some real high level one-on-one matchups. Wow. There is nothing like it. Really in high school sports in Wisconsin. Following hockey, the next couple of weeks, it kind of gets a little easier. You can shift into basketball mode, because the basketball follows a very simple regional, sectional, state 3-week plan in the playoffs. And the girls and boys are staggered 1 week off from each other. The boys are the final winter sport event to get going in mid-March, right around St. Patrick's time. So the schedule itself kind of lends itself to giving you options as to what to cover, what to pay attention to, but it all flows pretty well. And one of the great things about all of the winter sports is that the tournament series events in winter are all absolutely amazing.
What about gymnastics? I mean, I, you know, was not where I grew up outside of Pittsburgh, you know, not a high school recognized sport. However, when I moved to Wisconsin, my daughter was a gymnast. And, you know, from the time she was little and then through high school, she was a competitive gymnast. And I mean, that's now in the winter too, right?
Yep. Gymnastics is part of the winter sports, much like sports like boys volleyball or lacrosse. It's really, really centralized in like Milwaukee suburbs, Madison suburbs, kind of southern and eastern Wisconsin, the population centers, right? That's where you're finding a lot of the programs. But you do find in sports like gymnastics, you do find the odd co-op of teams that are kind of, you know, they're a little further out from the population centers, and they mm-hmm. co-op a lot of the smaller schools in the one. I think specifically of what, you know, like Mount Horeb does with when they bring in some of the schools around them, you know, the Dodgevilles and some of those. You see some of those happen around the state. And again, one of the great things about not only those co-op opportunities, but having these sports is you're providing opportunities for people to compete. And in Wisconsin, we also have colleges that offer gymnastics as a varsity sport. So if you go into WIAC, there are several colleges that offer. Whitewater has a tremendous gymnastics program. I used to cover it as part of the Royal Purple back in the day when I went to college. I used to write about it. So, you know, so there's a good following for it. It's another sport that's pretty well established here.
Nice. Gotta love that. You know, hey, yeah, it's Busted Pencils, Fully Leaded. If you want to let us know about what's happening, 608-557-8577. Jimmy Cuska, Civic's own, talking about, you know, everything right now, winter sports, little tribute to Bob Uecker, gymnastics. I was just thinking about, as you said that, Jimmy, the co-ops, and, you know, we were actually in Verona, and I think Verona actually also was kind of combined, and I can't remember, with another high school or and maybe it was even Mount Horeb at the time. That may have changed since then. But you know, again, trying to come together to put those, you know, those resources. Now, I mean, even in the 5 years since we've not been there, I know Verona has had exponential growth. And so,
yeah, and that district has a pretty awesome campus for calling sports too, for what it's worth. But the co-op model really helps girls sports in particular. I think it was a sport like hockey where, you know, there are two teams that cover all of basically the Dane County, right? There's one for the west side, one for the east side, between the Metro Lakes and the Cap City Cougars. And those are very successful programs around Madison, for example. So the co-op model, I know it leads to things like, well, these are some crazy enrollments for setting tournament play. You have combined enrollments north of 10,000. I know there's those discussions, but at the end of the day, you're trying to provide opportunities for people to compete. You want students to have these opportunities to be a part of something. So I personally don't have an issue with co-ops themselves, especially in a sport like hockey, where there are very few, if any, standalone teams remaining.
Well, I got to put it out there too. Our Johnny Lupinacci is a storm chaser. And you know, and that, you know, he's just been following that. So, you know, Johnny, hey, we miss you. Well, Jimmy, love always spending Fridays with you when we get a chance. Especially knowing that, you know, before the show, Jimmy kind of got on with a, and we were like, dude, if you're not feeling good, but that's the commitment Jimmy Cuska has to doing this kind of work. Jimmy, man.
Show must go on. You know, show must go on. We still got games to coach. We still got stories to tell, right?
And you perked right up once he started talking about sports.
I know. I was like, wait a minute. Where did that guy? I mean, I was like, holy crap, send him an ambulance before we started the show. But he is rocking it, you know. So yeah, Jimmy, man, thanks for busting pencils with us.
Thank you guys for having me. It's always great to talk about all the things happening in high school sports. Make sure you check out civicmedia.us. There will be an article recapping where we're at and all the things, both playoff-wise, policy-wise, with high school sports here near the end of January.
And now for your moment of zen. History can untie our minds, our bodies, our disposition to move, to engage life rather than contemplating it as an outsider. Hey, make sure you tune in tomorrow, Saturday, broadcast 3 p.m. across the Civic Media Network. Undesto AI, what's that? You're going to have to tune in for two incredible women who educate educators on ethical AI use. Then come back Monday morning for homeroom and classes in session on Wednesday. Subscribe to the Busted Pencils podcast on Spotify and Apple Podcasts and drop a review. We love it. You know the other thing? Keep busting pencils.